With encouragement for today and hope for tomorrow, this is Abounding Grace. Join us. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace, our chance to get together for a few minutes each and every day that we might be encouraged in Christ. Now, won't you take a moment and join us? We're brought to you in part through the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Here now is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, we have this beautiful passage, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord." The Apostle Paul, in this verse, gives us a beautiful remedy to the problem of anxiety. It's wonderful because he gives the answer amidst all the world's ways of trying to help people cope with problems and provide them ways out to numb their anxieties and numb all these disorders. What does Paul say? Under the inspiration given here by the Spirit, he says, "Do not have anxiety, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God." So the remedy is don't have anxiety about anything, but pray about everything. Now, we said yesterday, come on, Paul, isn't that a bit simplistic? We all know the struggle we have with prayer, right? Even when things are going well, but how much more difficult when things are not going well? We stop, we begin to pray, we begin to pour out our hearts to God over the problem, and immediately the heart and the mind is again invaded by the circumstance, and we can't stay focused at all in our prayers. Is that an easy thing just to say, just pray? Well, I'm going to make the case today that it's not simplistic. It's God's answer to the very problem. You know what I'm speaking of, however. How many times have we tried to go to the Lord in prayer about something? Our inward desire is to lay it before the Lord, but the very thing that is attacking the heart, and remember we've labeled it this week as a tyranny of circumstance, the very thing that is attacking the heart and the mind is dragging down my prayer. In any part of our spirituality, in the reading of the word or whatever, you're struggling to hear him, you're struggling to cry out to him because of this invasion upon the heart and the mind with the struggle. And we're tossed with anxiety on the inside like a double-minded person. The fact is that the anxiety seems to prevail over my desire to pray, as wrong as that is. Now, how is this remedied? Here's what I want to consider with you today. Have you ever noticed what Paul does here? Look at what he says. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. What a beautiful outline for prayer, isn't it? Look at the first two words if you have your Bibles open today. Everything by prayer and supplication. This is an interesting twist and is telling us something very important about prayer. He's telling us that there's a crucial difference between prayer and supplication. The first word here is the basic word for prayer, prosouxe in the Greek, and the difference is simply that this first word is speaking of a very devotional approach to the Lord. The second is speaking to our specific requests that are troubling our hearts. Now, we can learn a great deal from this. What we can conclude is that often the very reason that our circumstances attack our hearts and our minds and drag down our prayers so that the desire to pray is even lost is simply because we often have approached prayer wrongly. What is the first thing we do when our hearts are troubling us? Well, we pour out our distresses before him, and the prayer begins with the heart and the mind completely shaken and stirred up with the problem first before a recognition, without a recognition of something that needs to be there before this crying out. So we cry out, "Lord, why is this happening to me? How can this go on? I'm miserable." And soon as we find our mind fixed on this problem, the prayer's gone. You know what I'm talking about. You're coming to God consumed with the anxiety without regard for him. And in that scenario, you really have not approached the Lord with a believing and trusting heart. You're more given to your anxiety than to the Lord and trust in Him that He's in control of the circumstance. And so what Paul is saying is, then you must come to your Lord first devotionally. You must come to Him desiring to worship Him first. And so when things are overtaking us, it is best not to start always with the problem. Sure, sometimes the psalmist did do this, but the first and best way is to enthrone the Lord on your hearts. First, worship Him in the beauty of His holiness. And this is, let me say, just a lost art today. I hear people pray and the real adoration element of prayer, the praising of Him, the exalting of Him, the speaking of His glories, His perfections, His attributes, is lost art today. So first, come to the Lord, worshiping Him in the beauty of His holiness in prayer. Lord, as Moses said in Psalm 90, I love how he starts the prayer, You have been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever from everlasting unto everlasting, You are God. I hear very few pray like that, who do such a thing, who begin the prayer with adoration, with glorifying Him and who He is in His holiness. But this must be what your prayer is rooted and grounded in, your veneration, your love for who God is and what He has done for you. Even the psalmist cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from the words of my groaning? His very next words were, You are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in You. They trusted and You delivered them. Do you hear how he dealt with his problem? Yes, he raised the problem first, but the problem was rooted, the distress was rooted, his anxiety was rooted in the worship of the Lord. And you see, that is why he adds, these prayers must be with thanksgiving. So it's in your prayer that you recognize first that He's delivered your soul, that He has delivered His people before you, and that He will deliver you. So that whatever the peril is that is overtaking my heart and my mind, the reality above it all and the fact is that I serve a God of deliverance. He has always delivered His people. And at the end, He has always done it for His glory. And so I'm seeking His glory first and foremost in prayer, and then I'm bringing specifically my petitions to Him. I serve a God who has purchased me with the blood of His Son, and so the sweet words of the gospel through my anxiety drive me to thankfulness. Isn't that interesting? So you're coming to the Lord with this heavy burden upon your heart, this anxiety that is overwhelming you, and what is the Lord saying? First adore, bring the supplications, but come with thankfulness. All of that at the end should drive you to thankfulness for what the Lord has already done for you in saving you. Thankfulness that nothing can separate you from His love. Thankfulness that He is a God above my circumstances. And so with this calmness of soul and thanksgiving, I approach God. And it is then that He calls us to lay our petitions before Him. And as we ask the Lord to lighten the heavy hand upon us, His heavy hand, and what is affecting us, or come to our aid, in this way, a certain joy will be maintained in our hearts. That even though I or a loved one is facing severe trial, and even though, as Paul said, I am hard pressed on every side, I'm not crushed, the rod of His kindness cannot be taken from me even in this circumstance, as painful as it may be. In the heart of my afflictions, there is a heartfelt gratitude and worship of Him for the deliverance that I have already received in Jesus Christ my Lord. Remember Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 had this thorn in the flesh? It was a messenger of Satan to torment him. What's always moved me about that passage is that he pleaded with the Lord in prayer three times to take it away. Now he pleaded. Did the Lord take it away? No. The Lord's words were, My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for all your needs, Paul. And what happened to Paul's prayer? It turned into joy and thanksgiving, recognizing that through his very weakness, the power of Christ is being revealed in him. And you see, for the exceeding precious promise that he holds out for us in the gospel, when we cry out to him in prayer, recognizing that he is in control, this peace of God that surpasses all understanding begins to guard the heart and the mind. You see, we have a recognition here in prayer that God in Christ has given me a mercy seat, wherein all of my sins have been abolished through the blood of his dear son, washed away. And so what Paul is saying to us is that even in our distresses, as we cry out to the Lord, we must be filled with thoughts of his love and mercy already shown to us in the gospel. And we must contrast our anxieties with his promises, with his love, with the bigger picture of our salvation, and the fact that even though I don't understand why this particular thing is happening, or why this particular thing and how it can be working for good, working out for good to those who love him, it is then that our prayer will take shape to his glory, because we've come to him first adoring him, bringing our petitions, trusting in him, and then letting it take us right to thanksgiving. You see, the Lord wants us to make known our struggles to him. He commands prayer. It's no option. Make your petitions known to him, not because he needs to know what you need. He knows what we need before we ask, but he wants them made known so that all the more we would put our trust in Christ alone. It is for Christ's glory as we venerate and worship him with more thanksgiving through prayer that he is all the more glorified in our lives, as then he sustains us and as we recognize all the more that we are dependent upon him for everything. That is why we are to draw close to him in prayer. And so the question then today is, have you looked alone to Jesus Christ? He is the only answer to misery and pain that we feel in this life. His door is open. The throne of grace has been wide open to those who call out upon the name of the Lord, and he will give you an ear. So you must come to Jesus today. You must not go to anyone else, but you must go to Jesus. And his promise to you is that his peace will guard your hearts and your minds to his glory. We invite you this Sunday to join us for worship at the Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. Give us a call. We may encourage you in any way. 360-318-0429. Our website is www.lindenurc.com. Again, those worship service times are 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. this Sunday at the Linden United Reformed Church. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.